Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now let's meet the American League All-Star Reserves and Coaches. For the Detroit Tigers, outfielder Dimitri Young.
And now the National League All-Star Reserves. From the Washington Nationals, infielder Dimitri Young. Here comes Dimitri Young.
Joe, you talked about Dimitri earlier, and I talked to him yesterday, and I said, who in this clubhouse is happier to be here than you? And he said, my children.
Now this year, his motto is, I'm going to make that pitcher get me out. I'm not going to get myself out.
Good motto. That ball is belted in the air, deep right center field, way back, and that ball is gone.
He's got the flat down.
And there is number one on the season for Dimitri Young. High drive into deep right. The crowd to its feet, stares back. It's gone. Home runs numbers one and two for Dimitri Young, 5-0 Tigers.
With Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score. The Score's venerable baseball show. And man, I'm looking forward to talking to Dimitri Young, who joins us right now on the Appelmonte Ford Hotline. Appelmonte Ford in Melrose Park. I loved watching you hit and play the field. Dimitri Young, it's a pleasure to talk to you. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's 8 in the morning out here, but I've been up since 5 in the morning going to the grocery store. And, you know, it's Southern California. The sun's out. And even what's going on in the world right now between the pandemic and the protests, you know, life is good.
Man, good for you. I would not have pegged Dimitri Young in his mid-40s waking up at 5 a.m. and being on point and getting things done. Good for you. Are you always an early riser these days?
Upon retirement and kids getting older and transitioning into being a coach and things of that nature, I'm usually up when I wake up the roosters that wake up the rest of the world.
Somebody's got to do it. And your time is your own right then. You get some good isolation. You can do whatever the heck you want to do in those hours. So good on you. You know, I think I always loved watching you play, Dimitri, because I was a big kid. And I had some girth to me. And then when I would move around playing different sports, whatever, people would be like, wow, look at him. You're agile, Spiegel. You're all right. You can move a little bit. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not, you know, incapacitated. But, man, there was were you always a little big but able to move the way you did with great hand-eye coordination? Were you one of those young athletes who was big but could move as well as just about anybody else on your team?
Well, coming up, I was actually the kid that was in shape and just larger than everybody. I was compared to Bo Jackson in high school. And it was just more of me being rebellious and things of that nature once I got drafted. I come from a military family, move across the country every 3 or 4 years. Father, very, very strict. And so when you leave, and this is more of a human thing here. It's like when you leave the nest after, I won't say being sheltered. It's like, all right, you got to see. You ain't going anywhere. I didn't go to Magic Mountain, which is like Six Flags Magic Mountains. I didn't get to go till I took my kids. Because I was supposed to go in high school on three separate occasions. And due to either a bad game or having a C, I wasn't allowed to go. So I came from that kind of background. Great parents and stuff, but you know how, well, I don't know if you know, but people can relate to when they're being sheltered and they want to get out there into the real world. They're like defiant and stuff. So that's when I started putting on the pounds and stuff and then got my chef in the shape because I was the number 4 pick overall. They're not drafting number 4 picks, little bowling balls. So it was like I was in shape and then, you know, I was just defiant, but I mean, if you look at me now, I'm about 240 and in shape because I'm a type 1 diabetic and didn't find that out until 2006.
I remember 2006. I remember when that came out and all of a sudden some health things in your life had had made some sense and you talked about it and were very open about it and I'm sure helped some people, you know, figure out if they were diabetic and do some work. Yeah, Dimitri Young, the number 4 overall pick in 1991, and then with some of the natural kind of life rebound issues after, you know, and after ending up on your own with some freedom. It took you a while to get to the bigs, but in 1996, had a huge year at AAA Louisville, hitting .333, AAA All-Star team, and then you make it to the bigs with the St. Louis Cardinals. That's a decent amount of time in there to figure some things out. What did you learn? What did you learn in those minor league years that helped you eventually put it together and get to the bigs, and you had a very nice long major league career?
You know what? It wasn't until 1995. And you know what? I want to comment real quick on the opening theme and all that. The music that you played, Nas, If I Ruled the World, that was my music when I got called up to St. Louis. I wanted to say that before I forgot about that. That was my theme music when I went up there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's our producer, now, Sean Anderson, blowing it out of the park there.
Great job, Sean. All right. Now, it wasn't until 1995. When we were playing in Wichita, I was with the Arkansas Travelers. That was the AA team for the St. Louis Cardinals at the time. And played 5 or 6 games there. And as we were leaving, me and another guy were talking to a couple of female companions that we met earlier that trip. And we were saying our goodbyes, but there were 5 fans that were at the game the entire time, and they were calling me Pork Chop, but they were also calling 2 of the other black guys Pork Chop, but they also get, like, they was talking about Joe McEwen, they was telling him that he's out past his curfew, but they were getting belligerently drunk, and then their tone started getting a little bit worse as the game progressed, and by the time the game was over, everybody on the team was gone except for me and the one teammate, and as we're walking across the field, they was like, Hey, Pork Chop, get out of here. Get out of here, you effing N-word.
Oh, man.
And I went, what? And my buddy was like, no, let's just get out of here. Get out of here. And something just took over my body. It was like I just had to go over there. And I took off my shoes because we were on half turf and half grass field. So I took off the turf, so I went up there. And I said, excuse me, what did you say? And the dude said, F you. So dropped him with a left hook, and the rest of his buddies were on top of me, swinging, hitting me in the top of the head. I got a knot in the back of my head to this day because of it. But meanwhile, the guy that I was on top of, I was just giving him the elbow, smashing his head into the ground. And then the guy that came up with me, he had one of my bats and hit the biggest dude in the small of the back. And then they kind of separated, and we wound up going to the clubhouse. The police came. We talked to the police. We weren't in the wrong. and come to find out there were five Marines, and I'm a military come from a military family and stuff, but you know, when that comes from the Marine, that kind of hurts, you know. And I wound up getting suspended for 20 games. The other guy wound up getting released, and I had to sit in the stands with the team. I couldn't, like, once I could work out with them, but after that, I had to sit in the stands and watch the game. And the hecklers from the other places that we went, you know, they came up and were talking to me, and they were like, yeah, we just like giving the players a hard time. You know, once you cross that racial line, you know, that's a whole nother ball game. And the people like in Jackson, Mississippi, Shreveport, Louisiana, you know, Little Rock, Arkansas, places that I played in the Southern League, you know, they had compassion way back when in 95. And from there, I wound up getting sent to AAA after my suspension was over, and helped the Louisville Redbirds win the American Association Championship. And then the Cardinals sent me down to Mexico. And I was kind of, you know, I was kind of half-assing it, really, to tell you the truth. And mm-hmm. It wasn't until I got hurt and I missed eight games, I looked in the mirror, I was like, is this what you want to do? I was like 20, just turned 21 at the time. This is what you want to do, because if this is what you want to do, you really aren't putting anything behind it. You got to get nasty. You got to not care. You got to go out there and play like this is what you want to do. So when I got back out there playing, my average went from 276 to winning the batting title for the Hermosillo Naha, the Orangemen, in the Mexican League with a 356 average. Then I went to spring training, and that's when they changed regimes with bringing in Tony La Russa. And, you know, I was close to making a team. I needed seasoning because I lost, you know, I got myself in a real shape and wound up winning the batting title in AAA. And then got called up to the big leagues. And that was when I got hungry, was back in 95, that I knew I had to do something because I wasn't giving max effort.
Man, there's a lot in there from Dimitri Young. We appreciate you talking and sharing the way you are. That's a big moment for a young man to realize, all right, you're going to do this? You're going to do this or not? Like, this is, you got a chance to have this life or not have this life. You better get going. But you, I mean, to have that kind of, you know, that kind of racism thrown at you while you're a young man like that, and to have to deal with that on that level, and then you retaliate, and you probably get branded as an angry black man at that point, you know. And I'm thinking about your younger brother Delman, who had some anger, some incidents with anger that are fairly memorable. But I don't know Delman. I don't know him as a person. But no, just getting to know you a little bit, it's like I've been trying to empathize this week and these past couple weeks, Dimitri, with what it must be like to live with that kind of rage that's in there, that kind of racism that's in there, and to be hamstrung by the fact that if you do show the anger, then that's not a good thing either, necessarily. Like, you got to show an extra level of restraint, even in the face of an extra level of judgment and meanness that you're getting from people. That's a really tough place for a young man to be, isn't it?
Oh, it's very tough. And the turning point in my life, not baseball life, but real life, was it happened in 2010. And I don't know if you know the name Robbie Tolan. His father, Bobby Tolan, played in the big leagues with the
Absolutely.
Cardinals and Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie Tolan was following in his footsteps. And I've known Robbie since he was like, him and my brother are the same age. They're both 34. And met him back in like 2000 because they live in Houston and good friends with the Griffies. And so he had come in there, and then he wound up getting drafted by the Nationals. And we always kept in touch. And I didn't see him for a couple of years. And then we were at the bat dinner. Baseball assistants came up in New York, and he told me the story about what happened with him. And I don't know if you know the story, but he was a victim of, you know, police brutality. And there's a bunch of theft that was going on where they live outside of Houston. And him and his cousin were coming home. This was the night before New Year's Eve. It was 12:31 in 2008. And they're pulling up at his home, and the cops followed him, and they was like, get out of the car. And Robbie's trying to explain to him that, hey, you know, this is my house right here, and this is my car. And they was like, get on the ground. And him and his cousin on the ground, and his parents come out, and the neighbors, and they're like trying to explain to him that this is, you know, this is his car, this is his house, and, you know, I'm their parents. And what happened, they threw Robbie's mom on the ground. Robbie gets up, don't you do that to mom. And then the cops, three shots, two of them in the awning of the house and one of them in his right lung. And what happened, when the cops punched in the license plate numbers, the last number, I say, ended in 5, they put in a 6. And I just bought into a team up in Michigan, the Oakland County Cruisers, a defunct team in the Frontier League. And when I saw Robbie, he told me that, you know, what happened to him, and he still had the bullet in him. And we were just talking, and he was like, man, I just wish I could play baseball again. So I talked to the owner of the team. I said, the deal breaker with me, I got to have that kid on the team. You know, for no other reason but to give him an outlet to be able to play baseball. Well, he had a court case with the cops, and the cops wound up being acquitted. And so having that, I had him the very next day. He flew into Detroit. I picked him up from the airport. And you're just talking about somebody who was shot for absolutely no reason. And then they got off. So I had to deal with a kid who just got absolutely screwed by the justice system over, let's face it, being black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just sent out the Wikipedia entry about that incident on my Twitter, Dimitri, so people can educate themselves about it. It's an all too common kind of story that's been out there, and people are hearing and realizing it's just been incredibly common and so sad. So you helped him get to play, at least just as an outlet to be able to play.
As an outlet, and I don't know if anybody's familiar with the with independent ball, but that's like the last step before, you know, you're not playing professional ball. And it's also an outlet for people to play that got released from teams or overlooked. And they'll make moves quick. I mean, this guy's 0-3. Oh, man, we're going to have to get rid of him. So the deal was he had to be on the team the entire year as well.
The Oakland County Cruisers, right? Was that the team at the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, getting Robbie, it was like I have to help him rehabilitate. So it wasn't about me; it was about helping that kid.
And how
to get what happened, but to be able to move forward.
So how did that change your life, Dimitri? You talk about how that changed your life. Did it give you a different kind of focus and intention the rest of your life?
Well, I always wanted to be a teacher if I wasn't a ball player. And part of being a teacher is being a mentor. And part of being a mentor is using, you know, what you've been through in your life, how you handled it, both good, bad, or indifferent, and turn that energy into a positive to help somebody else mature, because as an older person, you can see what younger people are doing. And if you have any sort of influence on helping them get over a certain hump or just being somebody supportive. And those are the things that, you know, you tend to not see when you go through your own things, but when you have somebody dependent on you, and it's like, and we just talked the other day, and he was like, man, you helped me. I was like, dude, you helped me.
Man, that's powerful stuff from Dimitri Young. A lot of people have been in conversations the past couple weeks, Dimitri, and end up saying things like, what can I do? You know, a lot of a lot of white friends, a lot of, you know, different folks trying to figure out what they can do. And I don't, you know, I don't know what's best, but I know that I keep coming back to some form of what you're talking about, of helping to build and educate and provide for young, strong black men. Like at the very least, like give money, give time to help people, you know, who are disadvantaged in that particular group, at least feel strong and feel confident and have what they need to do so they can then help themselves and feel supported and feel loved. It sounds like that's what you're trying to do these days.
Well, that's where it started with Robbie. And then I wound up moving back here to California, and I was doing camps for a couple of years with a few other ball players out here, like Mike Lieberthal, Robert Fick, Royce Clayton, Jeff Weaver. And these are guys that I coach with today over at Oaks Christian High School. And Royce is the head coach. I'm the hitting coach, and Jeff Weaver's the pitching coach. Wow. And let me tell you, fun stuff. But, you know, I moved back out here to California doing that and then being involved with MLB's Breakthrough Series, which is a showcase for young African-American players. And they'll have a three-day workout, and they'll have scouts there. They play games. They'll get their evaluations and stuff. And then we had the Hank Aaron Invitational, which at first was Elite Development Invitational. I've been doing that every year since existence. I've been doing the Breakthrough Series since 2013. And doing things with Perfect Games, broadcasting the Perfect Game 14U All-American Select Festival, doing the RBI World Series. So I'm all around the amateur baseball, and I do lessons. And I mean, it's all about, you know, people talk about giving back. It's like you teach what you know. And I know that when you can talk to a kid and, you know, you're transparent. You know, you just open yourself up to them. And that's the first thing that I build when I'm working with new students with hitting. And, you know, you get the trust and then you build their confidence up. And, you know, if they play baseball, that's fine. But if they can take some of the things that they learn, because I'm trying to teach life skills through sports, through baseball, actually. I don't play any other sport. And just helping them in that manner, you know, helping them build confidence, helping them, you know, being able to block out their parents when they're helicoptering on the fence. Like, come on, swing at the ball, let's go. you know, I have to educate the parents, too.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
What do you think you're doing? First of all, it's embarrassing. I mean, you're sitting there on the fence. You see every other parent's in there, but you're up there on the fence. I have to tame some of these parents. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and I also been to scout school. You know, I'm a jack of all trades, but I like being at home and I like working with the younger kids. But I love when the parents like kind of try and get out of hand with the kid.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you talking to him when he's trying to work?
Yeah, no, I mean, and the danger that can bring. I'll tell you a quick story, Dimitri. I was in seventh grade playing tennis, right? And I was playing with these two brothers, Lyle and Eric were their names. And they were good tennis. Uh-huh. Lyle and Eric Menendez. They were good tennis players, right? They were real good tennis players. But their dad used to come and scream at them the entire time, yelling at them, like, what are you doing? And they would win and then cry in the arms of their father after they had won because they hadn't been good enough for their father.
Oh,
so,
my goodness. I just put a new twist into that right there. I mean, that's totally to the extreme of what we're talking about, the helicopter dad. I was like, man, they just eliminated that problem.
That's one way to go about it. I don't recommend that methodology.
Not at all.
No, but it is dangerous. You never know how your kids are going to react when you're doing that. You're not helping them is the point. Dimitri, this was really, really fun. Thanks for talking, man. Let's do it again sometime. I feel like we just scratched the surface on some stuff. And I appreciate you sharing about Robbie Tolan and about about what's going on in your head and in your heart these days, because it's a moment for people to share and for people to listen, and I really appreciate what you brought to the show today. So thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on and just chatting.
Yeah, right? I know, it's healthy. It's healthy. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. Dimitri Young, I got to listen to your podcast, Wrestling with Sports. You and Jason Kendall and a couple other guys, and it's not just wrestling, right? You talk to sports guys about wrestling that they love and talked with wrestlers about other sports that they love, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we do that, but lately we just been talking baseball. Things that have been going on with baseball, we've had Brett Boone on frequently. We're going to have Sean Casey on next week. So if any of our 9 listeners that listen to Wrestling with Sports, we're going to have Sean Casey on next week, my former teammate, which I love to death.
Yeah, he's the best. He's the mayor, man. He's funny. He's thoughtful. He's real. That's good stuff. Well, enjoy it, Dimitri. This was a pleasure. Thanks so much, man. Have a great day, all right?
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
All right, you got it. That's Dimitri Young. Good job, Sean Anderson. Man, I loved watching that guy, and I love him even more now, having gotten a chance to talk to him. It's Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score. And when we come back, we will continue the show. You're going to hear very shortly from a probable first-round draft pick that we have mentioned, maybe for the White Sox. But either way, it's a great story and somebody you may remember from their days in Little League, even. You'll hear that soon, coming up on 670 The Score.
Later in the inning, Illinois up 6-5, but there's more. Ed Howard grounds the second. One run scores. Illinois goes up 7-5.
Jackie Robinson West was a great story, and then an awkward story, and then a sad story. In retrospect, intense, right? But man, that was fun to rally around those kids and to see how good they were as a unified baseball team. We're not here to relitigate that story. We're not here to bring it up. But we are here to talk about the shortstop on that team, who now is the shortstop at Mount Carmel High School, even though they didn't get a chance to play out their full season, and a graduate. So congratulations to Ed Howard for graduating. And he will be picked this Wednesday night or Thursday, but probably Wednesday. The first 37 picks in the draft will happen. He's kind of all over the place in some of the mock drafts, but he may indeed go to the White Sox. I know he's got a good relationship with the White Sox. So even if he doesn't, it is something to watch and someone you should know. Someone you should know. All due respect to CBS2. That's where that came from, right? Yeah, Speaks, CBS2. Anyway, this is Ed Howard. A couple of months ago on Hit and Run, and we talked to him about his favorite player, Tim Anderson.
I think it's just the way he goes about his business. You know, he's always himself. That's what I like the most about him. He's himself. He has fun. He has a lot of confidence. You know, I talked to him a few times, and he always just talked to me about, like, my mentality as I'm playing the game. You know, just kind of like doing you, you know, staying confident all the time. And I don't know. I think that's what I just like the most about him, just the way he goes about his business, like off the field.
Yeah, I know that when you did meet him, he gave you his phone number. He said he's going to keep tabs on you. What's that like? Does he keep tabs on you when you guys? What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, we just talked, I think, 2 days ago. And it's just more so just checking up on each other, you know. I asked him, you know, how he's doing. He asked me, you know, what's going on. And then he always gives me, like, a little advice, just talk to me about, you know, the situation I got coming up, you know, the draft and my high school season. And he just kind of just gives me insight on his life and how he thinks about things in his mind, you know, because he's playing shortstop in the big leagues. I know that's a pretty stressful job for him. But he just tells me how he goes about it, you know, how he can stay confident, how he doesn't worry about, you know, what others got to say about him. It's just kind of going out there and playing and doing it for himself, you know.
Yeah, and And he's got a very full life, and he's very active in the community, working with Youth Guidance and the BAM Foundation, the Building a Man, and everything that he does. It seems like it's having an effect on a lot of people. I wonder, Ed, young men like you, young black men, athletes, don't always choose baseball, obviously. Have you ever talked about that with your friends? Do any of your peers talk to you about
about baseball, whether they like it or whether they don't, in conversation?
Yeah, it comes up a lot. Most of my friends, you know, are baseball players, because that's just kind of who I'm around. But I know a lot of kids who didn't choose to play baseball, who went on to play, you know, like basketball and football and things like that. And honestly, it's really not common for a lot of black kids to play baseball, because it's just how things are. But I think it's definitely changing. I know a lot of younger kids who are playing the game at like a young level and really love it. And I know they look up to guys like me, and I look up to guys like Tim Anderson. So it's kind of like a chain of people leading the way. So it's just, I feel like it's my duty to keep setting an example for kids younger than me, you know, to keep playing this game. And I think it's definitely growing for African Americans.
Well, it's beautiful. Right now, as you're talking about, I'm remembering guys like Torrey Hunter having those conversations, like African-American players from a decade ago, from 20 years ago, whatever. And it's a thing about kind of paying it forward a little bit. What do you think keeps kids from choosing it, Ed? Is it slow to them? Do they think it's slow? I hear that.
I think it's because it's slow, you know, it's outdoors. You don't get as much like attention, you know, like the NBA star, NFL star, you know, you kind of play baseball. I really don't know, honestly. I just think kids don't like it because it doesn't get as much attention as like NBA and basketball. And, you know, games might not be as packed as basketball games or football games. But at the end of the day, it's still a great game. And I think if kids played it more often, they would like it.
What do you like about it? What do you like about baseball, Ed?
I like that it's a challenging sport, honestly. You know, it's a lot of failure in baseball. So when you do have success, it just feels so good. You know, you got to keep working. It's a long process, you know, trying to be good and things like that. But like I said, just the failure part of it, it just makes the success that much better.
Yeah, no, that makes all the sense in the world. The connection to the White Sox for you and for Mount Carmel, I know that that Alec Thomas, who played at Mount Carmel, was a second-round pick of the Diamondbacks in 2018. I know that you and Alec played together for a little while. And his dad, Alan Thomas, the White Sox director of conditioning, he consulted on your training regimen. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How much contact have you had, if any, with the White Sox as an organization along the way, other than specific people like that?
So I've talked to the White Sox a little bit. I trained with Tim Anderson once, and there was a few White Sox guys in there watching. So they've seen me all over the summer. They've known me for a long time since I was like a sophomore high school. They've kind of been watching me. So I feel like they've definitely seen me a lot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can never have enough good athletic shortstops. People move positions. People bounce around quite a bit. Do you dream of them drafting you?
I do. I think it'll be a great story. You know, if the hometown team drafts me, you know, I don't know how the draft's going to play out. So I'm just kind of standing in the moment, and we'll see what happens in June.
All right. Well, what if it's the Cubs? How does that feel?
I'm a Cubs fan, too. You know, I like good baseball, and the Cubs were hot for a minute. I think they still can be. So I watch them a lot. Honestly, either one is fine with me.
Harry Porterfield, that's who it was over at CBS. Harry Porterfield, someone you should know. Thank you to Harry for that loaner of a phrase. Ed Howard, someone you should know. What a good kid. And I look forward to seeing where he goes on Wednesday night in the MLB draft. Excuse me. It is Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, right here with you on 670 The Score. Next hour, Chris Kampka joins us. Bruce Levine joins us. And J.J. Cooper from Baseball America joins us as well. When we come back, Volume 2 of the brand new baseball thing that me and Jason Benetti have started to enjoy and giggle with. We'll bring it to you. Good comp, bad comp. Ricky Henderson in focus. You can listen and then vote and tell us who got it right next on Hit and Run. Oh, it's graduation for somebody out there. But that's not why you're hearing Pomp and Circumstance, this version as written well, not written, but performed by my guy Kurt Morrison and his daughters, the Wisconsin Bashers, if you will, in their garage. You're hearing Pomp and Circumstance because we're going to talk about the comp and circumstance for a ball player of note. Jason Benetti, the White Sox broadcaster, and I have a little bit of time on our hands. We need baseball, and we like talking to each other about sports, baseball, culture, and more. So we started this thing, Good Comp, Bad Comp. I will tweet the link in a matter of moments if you've missed it at MattSpiegel670. It is a video. And there are some graphics to go along with it. Not just a Zoom meeting. It's a Zoom meeting with graphics to go along with it. And one of us does a good comp. One of us does a bad comp. Or are they both good comps? Are they both bad comps? You get to vote. And I'll tweet out that link to the poll as well. The subject is Ricky Henderson, the greatest leadoff hitter in the history of the game. The man who scored more runs in Major League Baseball than anybody else. The man who played for the Oakland A's four different times. The absolutely brilliant and completely magnetic Ricky Henderson. I go second on the comp, and I go to the worlds of funk and pop and soul music. Jason Benetti goes first on good comp, bad comp. And here is his comp for Ricky Henderson.
I want to prove this week that we can compare to a person and win. One of the great athletes of all time, Ricky Henderson, I think is very similar to World Wrestling Entertainment's champion, the Ultimate Warrior. Ricky Henderson, tremendous speed. Ultimate Warrior, boundless speed and energy. Would bang off the ropes, shake the ropes like crazy, the whole bit. Each is a Hall of Famer. 2009, Ricky Henderson. Ultimate Warrior, 2014. Ricky Henderson called himself Ricky, very famously. Ultimate Warrior Jim Helwig actually changed his name to Warrior in 1993 because of a trademark issue. Each had careers that sort of spanned similar time frames, 1979 to 03 for Ricky, 85 to 2008 off and on for Ultimate Warrior. There are all these unconfirmed stories about Ricky Henderson, John Olerud being his teammate and forgetting about John Olerud as his teammate. Ultimate Warrior was officially listed as from parts unknown and had these apocryphal things he would say in interviews about being the chosen one and things like that. But this is the real big moment. Okay. In 1989, Ricky Henderson in the World Series faced an earthquake. In 1989, same year, the Ultimate Warrior in Wheeling, West Virginia was doing a push-up contest against Dino Bravo of World Wrestling Entertainment. And they called somebody out of the crowd to sit on top of each competitor to make it more difficult. That man who they called out of the crowd was a plant who eventually was named Earthquake. In World Wrestling Entertainment. Each faced an earthquake in 1989. Let's do this. Ultimate Warrior, Ricky Henderson.
It's a strong case. I find you adorable, and yet now it's time for me to trounce you. My comp for Ricky Henderson is the musical icon and brilliant frontman, Prince. They were born mere months apart in 1958, contemporaries in so many ways. In 1980, Ricky played his first season, stole 100 bases, made the All-Star team, showcasing the mix of skills that would define his career. In 1980, Prince released Dirty Mind, showcasing the mix of skills and styles that would define his career. Prince, like Ricky, was the consummate frontman, the undisputed lead dog on any stage he was ever on. Thoroughly compelling, could not take your eyes off him. The swagger, the style, the snatch catch for Ricky was what the eye roll and the falsetto was for Prince. In the prime of his career, Prince suddenly started making movies, Purple Rain, three others. Ricky started hitting home runs, 28 in 1986, while the song Kiss was reaching number one on the charts. Prince made music well into his 40s and beyond, putting out his 25th album in the year 2003. That's the year that Ricky played in his 25th and final season. And when Ricky broke Lou Brock's stolen base record, you know he stood up and said, "I am the greatest of all time." Prince famously said, "I had a massive ego, massive, but that's not such a bad thing because at least you're aspiring to be something. You consider yourself great because you want to be great." Kindred spirits and perfect comps, Ricky Henderson and Prince.
Oh, come on. I nailed it, people. You know I nailed it. How about that moment there where we're talking about Ricky having his MVP season while this song was number one on the charts. I mean, does it listen to Kiss and imagine Ricky Henderson walking from the on-deck circle to the batter's box? And when we turn it up, imagine Ricky getting into that crouch and terrifying opposing pitchers. Turn it up, Sean. You don't need experience to tell me I'm still. Can't you just hear the swagger that you used to see coming off of Ricky? Nailed it. Please vote at Matt Spiegel 670, because last week Bonetti won, and nobody likes a happy Bonetti. Really, it's just not preferable. He won when his Bartolo Colon comp of the McDonald's Shamrock Shake defeated my Bartolo Colon comp of the painter Pablo Picasso. Did I aim too high with Pablo Picasso? Maybe. Was it too condescending to get quality votes from people? Maybe. But Prince and Ricky, you know that's money. I'm told that today, this very day, is the birthday of Prince. You know who told me that just now? Our guy, Chris Kampka, who usually ties the room together like a nice area rug at 11:40, but is listening, and I appreciate it. Today is the birthday of Prince. Come on now. That's just another incredible confluence of dates and times and characteristics that makes Prince the great comp for Ricky Henderson. There was nobody as good as Ricky Henderson at leading off. It really is amazing. You know what always amazed me about Ricky is, like, the last thing you wanted was that guy on base, right? It's the last thing you wanted because he's bound to steal a base and just wreak havoc and then score a run. He scored more runs than anybody in the history of the game. And yet, when he retired, he had the most walks in MLB history. I think right now he's number two in walks in MLB history. Could you check that real quick, Sean? Why would you walk Ricky Henderson? Let him hit the ball. But his eye was just so good. And you were afraid that he could hit it very hard and very far, or very hard and then get on. So you tried to make him swing at balls. But he didn't do that because he was really smart. But why would you walk him? Because pitching is hard, Spiegel. And because when Ricky would crouch, a la Pete Rose, he gave you an incredibly small strike zone. Because he was short to begin with, like Prince. Huh? And Ricky would crouch, and it was a tiny little strike zone that you were able to attack.
So, yeah, Ricky's second all-time. There's four guys with 2,000 walks in their career, and it's Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, and Ricky Henderson.
How about it? Those are the four guys with more than 2,000 walks in their career. Ted Williams, widely thought of as the greatest hitter who ever lived. The immortal Babe Ruth, the greatness that was Barry Bonds, both pre-PEDs and post, and Ricky Henderson. That's it, with 2,000 walks. I'm going to say the active career leader. Do you have the full active run there on Baseball Reference right now? Is that what you're looking at, Sean? You can scroll down and see in bold the active players. Is Albert Pujols the active leader in walks?
He is at 40th all-time with 1,322.
Okay, 1,322, not close to the 2,000, and he won't get there. Is Miguel Cabrera number two among active players in walks?
He is not. He is third.
Okay, so there's somebody between... I'm thinking of a guy. Who is it?
Joey Votto.
Ah, of course, the great Joey Votto. Walking is good, people. It's as good as a hit, some people say. So there it is. I tweeted out the link at Matt Spiegel 670. Please vote for me. Please vote for me. Yours was better last week, and you nailed it today with Prince. Thank you very much. Today is Prince's birthday. Thank you, texters. Didn't know. until Chris Kamka told us. He will join us next hour. J.J. Cooper from Baseball America will join us next hour. And at the top of this next hour, our colleague, my Saturday partner, Bruce Levine, will join us on Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.